Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Dark Forest. You know, there's nothing better than camping out in the woods, or going for a nice little hike out in nature. Well, that is, until you realize that you're not alone out there in the woods. Sit back and relax, toast up those buns, and let's get spooky. Last month, I started my first solo hike in the Appalachian Trail. Growing up, I hiked a lot with my dad, but it was never more than a half day before we broke off into some activity or went home. But for the last few years, the idea of a longer hike, of spending days or weeks or even months, largely alone as I passed through the wilderness of the world, sounded both magical and a little scary. I'm no great athlete or outdoorsman, but I'm in decent shape and have spent the last few months building up my stamina, reading up on the skills of knowledge I'd need on the trail, and researching what equipment I needed to carry. The two things I found repeated the most was a travel light and plan ahead. So by January, I had everything in place. I had the permits and the gear, and my mother was going to send resupply boxes by general delivery to several post offices along the way. If I kept to the schedule, I should arrive about a week after the packages, and anything I didn't need then, I could just send them ahead in a bounce box to somewhere further down the line. The other key in my mind, aside from the planning and prep work, was being realistic. I wasn't trying to do an entire 2,200 miles. My plan was to start at Springer Mountain in Georgia and possibly go as far south as the Shenandoah Valley in Virginia. If I found out I was over my head or got tired of it, I could always stop early. At just under 500 miles, I figured it would take a little less than 2 months if I did the full section hike to Virginia, which would line up well with my new job starting at the end of May. But it wasn't just my work schedule that had fallen into place. Everything seemed like it was working out for me to do the hike, almost like the universe was pushing me towards it. So one day in early March, I put on my pack, locked my car, and headed out. The first day was great. The weather was cool, the scenery was beautiful, and I was full of excitement of doing something different and exploring a part of the world that was easily forgotten in day-to-day city life. I only made 8 miles the first day, but I was more concerned about how I would do making camp. I had practiced with everything, of course, but I knew that there was a difference between watching a video or trying out equipment in your backyard and using it when you were tired and really needing it to work. Still, I got my tent up and a fire going, and the 2 packs of ramen I wolfed down tasted pretty awesome at the time. It also made me sleepy, and it wasn't too long before I was crawling into my bag and falling into a deep sleep. I woke up the next day cold and stiff, and it wasn't until the afternoon that I started to feel normal again. My beginner's energy and enthusiasm was gone, but so were some of my nerves. I'd been at it for over 24 hours without any real problems. If I could do it for a simple maybe 48 more hours, I'd be done. That probably sounded silly, and I guess in some ways it was. But over the next 2 weeks, I quickly fell into the soothing routine of the hike and the welcome rest after setting up camp. The nights could sometimes be a bit spooky, between the pitch black night and the odd sounds that would sometimes echo out in the dark. But I never really felt scared or like wasn't safe to go to sleep. and every day, I woke up feeling a little bit more excited for the day ahead. That's when the storm came. I had rain gear, and it definitely helped me keep my pack of clothes somewhat dry, but it did less to keep the wet from coating my face and running down my neck. By the second hour of the pour down, I could feel the first warning swishes in my shoes. They were waterproof, but somehow the moisture was still getting in the top. By the fourth hour, my feet were starting to feel numb and raw, and I knew I needed to find a place to rest and get dry for the day. The problem wasn't just the rain, however, but the wind came with it. My tent had been well reviewed and seemed to be holding up fine, but I had never tried to put it up in a storm. I wasn't sure if I could get it up easily with the weather like it was, and I definitely wasn't positive how stable or dry it would be unless things died down. Still, I didn't want to push my feet too far without drying them out, so I started looking for blue blazes along the path that might indicate a good camping spot. That's when I saw the wooden sign saying that there was an AT shelter ahead. A couple of hundred yards up, I saw the blue blaze marker and another sign with an arrow pointing to the side trail. Half a mile up that, I found the shelter. It wasn't anything fancy. 3 wooden walls and a roof, with a blue tarp someone had hung up along the outer edge to act as a fourth wall to keep some of the rain out. I felt my stomach drop a little at that. I had seen and chatted with people along the trail so far, but this was the first time I had tried to use a shelter or face the prospect of hanging out or even sleeping near a stranger. Reaching down to my pocket, I patted the pocket knife there, though I didn't know how much use it would really be if some maniac hiker decided to jump me. Still, its familiar shape comforted me, and I forced a smile as I pushed back the tarp and found no one. There was no sign of a person or their stuff, or even wet spots like someone had recently left to go back in the rain. I looked at the tarp closer. It didn't look sun-bleached or worn, and I don't know why someone would leave it behind if they had been put up by a passing hiker. But either way, I was grateful for the shelter and the solitude. I spent the next few minutes carefully setting up my wet stuff to dry and checking my feet. They were sore, but some time out of the shoes and socks would probably be all they needed. Rooting around my pack, I found a bar to eat. If the rain lasted, I wouldn't try for a fire, but I had enough water to last me until morning, and I could make do with dry food. I would have liked to make it further, but it was growing dark and my eyes were already getting heavy. I just sat, listening to the heavy patter of rain against the tarp, and before long, I was asleep. Hey there, you awake? I blinked, momentarily confused as to where I was or what was going on. I realized I could still hear the rain pouring down and hear the occasional snapping rustle of the blue tarp wall of the shelter. Everything was dark, though. Everything that was, except for the face floating above me in the darkness, partially illuminated by the glow of the small lantern. Not trying the horn in or nothing, just looking to get out of the rain. You cool sharing? I stared at the man, unsure of how to respond. On the one hand, I didn't want to be rude or leave someone out in the rain. On the other hand, I didn't know this small bearded man from anywhere, and I dreaded having to constantly be on my guard for the next 10 or 12 hours. He seemed to sense my uncertainty and he offered me a smile. I promise, I'm a nice guy. His smile faltered. I just don't want to be in the dark is all. Swallowing, I gave him a nod. Yeah, sure. Come on in. There's plenty of room. And there was. We could have easily fit 8 or 10 people in the small space if we sat close. And as it was, he was able to settle in far enough away we still had to raise our voices to be heard over the pounding rain. He chatted as he got out some supplies and introduced himself as Tony, even offering to let me use his little camp stove to heat up one of my meals. It was strange. He was friendly and seemed fairly easygoing on the surface, but there was also a sketchy tension to him that he couldn't quite hide. At first I wondered if he was just awkward or nervous around strangers like I was, and I was content to leave him alone until we both went to sleep. But then he started talking again, his voice hoarse and ready against the steady drumming of the storm. Is this your first time doing the trail? I laughed awkwardly. Is it that obvious? He smiled and gave a shrug. Nah, I guess it is, but not in a bad way. I've done it off and on for years. You could always tell when people are new. Got that glow about them, like they just found a special secret. His smile faded some. I guess they have. I nodded. Yeah, it's a little intimidating at times, but I'm really enjoying it. Proud of myself for doing it. I gestured towards Tony. What about you? You must love doing it if you've been doing it for that long. He chuckled, his eyes darting towards the tarp as the branch cracked off in the distance. Yeah, sure I do. This is my third hike through. First one southbound. I started up in Maine in the coldest part of the dang year. Told myself it was up to the challenge. Tony puffed out a breath as he shook his head. It was stupid. Should have waited and started now instead. His lips thinned. Things probably would have gone better. I frowned. Well, you look like you're doing okay. And if you're headed to Springer, you'll probably make it in a few days. He glanced back towards the tarp. Yeah, maybe. His eyes cut back to me. Listen, this is going to sound stupid, but have you heard anything funny at night? Like the last few nights, I've heard stuff every night. Trees cracking, birds and other stuff making noises. Some of it I know what it is, but a lot I have no clue, I laughed. So you're gonna have to be more specific. Rubbing the backs of his knees, he smiled slightly and nodded. Sure. Tony licked his lips as he went on. It sounds like a crying baby. Feeling a tinge of unease in my belly, I forced another smile. This sounds like a campfire tale, man. I pointed at his little butane stove. And I don't think that counts as a campfire. Looking back at him, the smile died on his lips. He was staring at me, his face ghostly in the twin glow of our small lanterns, floating in the darkness with an expression that looked serious and strange. It's no story, Carson. It's real. I've heard it. I've heard it just two nights ago. With an effort, I kept looking back into his bleak gaze. Okay, Tony, well, it seems like you've got more to say, so tell me what happened. I've been hiking for over 30 years. Not just the trail, but all over. And in my 20s, I worked as a guide out west for a few summers. My point is, I've seen and heard plenty of odd things over time, and I've heard plenty of, well, like you said, campfire stories. I never believed any of that crap, of course. The only thing scary about nature is not understanding it. There's never been something I experienced that I couldn't figure out as a reasonable explanation for. And the tall tales are just that. Bullcrap used to scare kids or pass a slow night. I've even heard things that sound like baby cries before. Bobcats and some barn owls do. So do porcupines, if you believe it. But if you know what to listen for, you could tell the difference. That difference is what I was listening for when I heard the crying that started two nights ago. I was still walking after dark, not a good idea for someone inexperienced, but I was familiar with the area, and I knew there was a good campsite just a few miles further on. This little camp stove is heavy, and a lot of people would say it's a rookie mistake to bring one, but it does me good when I get to where I'm going. I don't have to mess with a fire if I don't want. Lots of nights, if the weather is nice, I don't even unpack my tent. I just walk in the moonlight until I get tired, and then I sit down, head up some grub, and then I go to bed under the stars. That's what I was thinking about while I walked, that spot ahead on the edge of the creek. It went down to a waterfall close enough that it could sing you to sleep, and then the crying started. A bobcat, maybe? No, it was too controlled and clear for that. An owl? It sounded too warm. I was only curious at first, but as it started again, I felt a panic start to build in the back of my brain. It was a baby. A real, live human baby. Out in these woods and left to cry. Maybe the parents were hurt or they abandoned it. But it was in danger or pain, and it needed my help. It wasn't even a question anymore, so I left the trail. Pushing through the woods, I had to stop myself from running. I needed to hurry, but I wouldn't be able to help if I twisted my ankle or broke my leg, and there was no guarantee of a phone signal out as far as I was either. So I paced myself, picking my way between trees and bushes, going down one hill and up another. The child was still crying, and I could tell I was getting closer, closer, until I was there. It was a field of bare winter trees that should have leaves by now, but somehow didn't. I wondered for a moment if they were dead, but then a wind picked up, swaying limber branches before cutting through me. The baby's cry was all around me now, carried on the wind like a handful of bloody leaves warning of danger, or worse, danger's aftermath. I shuddered as I looked all around in the darkness for the source of the baby's cries. At first, I saw nothing, but then a thought occurred to me, and I looked up into the nearest tree. Staring back at me was a pair of wide and glowing yellow eyes. My first thought that I'd be wrong, it was a bobcat after all. But no, the eyes were all wrong. Too big and too far apart. The eyes began to move in the dark, heading towards the trunk of the tree, and then downwards towards the ground. It was then I shined my light on it, and that's what started me screaming. It, in some way, looked like a child, not a baby, but a child of maybe 12 or so in size and length and limb. But its skin was scaly and rough, like that of a desert lizard or the bark of a tree. And as it crawled down to the bottom, I saw the skin shift as though it was mimicking whatever was close by. Its fingers and toes were long and splinted, ended in a flat pads with hooked claws twisted out of them like the punishment. And its head was just darkness and those dang yellow eyes. You need to understand what I'm saying. Not that I couldn't see its head well. I could see it just fine as it began to crawl towards me. I'm telling you, it had no dang head at all. Just glowing eyes and that yawning darkness that would let out a terrible wail that had drawn me in. Even terrified, watching it dig up the earth as it came closer, I found it hard to resist that cry. I don't know if I could have at all if I hadn't gotten so close, staring into the wailing black hole it called a face. Because I could see something in there after all. Teeth. So many frickin' teeth. That broke the spell, I guess. Because I managed to run. Even panicked, I knew which way the trail was, and it didn't take long for me to make my way back to it. I turned onto it and kept moving fast, trying to keep my footing while pulling out my phone to try to call for help. But like I said, no signal. Looking back, I saw no sign of the thing following me. And if there were sounds of it coming out of the woods beside me, they were masked by my breathing as I tried to make distance without taking a fall. I couldn't fall. And not just because of getting hurt. I had this idea that if I did, it would be on me in a second. That terrible mouth that wasn't a mouth biting into me before it drug me back into the woods. I wound up walking through the night, and I never saw the thing again. By early the next afternoon, I was dead on my feet and stopped asleep before I collapsed. I remember thinking, half of it with exhaustion, that I'd probably dreamed the whole thing. Maybe I was getting sick, or at least needed to slow down for a few days. Those half-formed ideas were still in my head when I woke up a few hours later after sunset. My sleeping bag had been unzipped and something was touching me. I could feel it on my leg. Hard pounding, I shifted my leg slightly to look down to my body. The glow from its eyes lightened my legs, and I could see a bright purple tongue reaching out of the darkness behind the light. I almost thought I could see the outline of the head this time, somewhat twisted and strange and shifting. But I couldn't say for sure. To be honest, I was more concerned about what it was doing. It was licking me. It was licking me just behind the knee. I screamed and rolled away, sure it was going to be on me in a second, but it wasn't. When I got to my feet, it was gone again, and I haven't seen it since. I'd like to say that it was all my imagination, but I don't think I'm crazy, and I've never been the imagination type. Besides, I could feel where it licked me. It doesn't look any different, but I could still feel it. Like it's marked me somehow. There was a crash of thunder, and Tony jumped a little before looking back across the distance to me. I know how this sounds. You think I'm pulling your leg or that I'm crazy. I'm not. But you don't have any reason to believe me. I'd felt growing tension as the other man had talked, both because of the story itself and my growing fear that he really was insane and maybe even dangerous. So when he stopped talking, I thought I might yell or tell him to leave or do something at all to let off the boiling pressure inside. Instead, I listened as I asked him a question, my voice still even and fairly calm. Why are you telling me this? Tony wiped his mouth. To warn you. Because I don't know how far it'll travel to get me. Because I don't think it's over. He glanced at the tarp. I think it's hunting me still. I shook my head. Okay, well, yeah, that's quite a story. And I'm going to be honest. I do think you may be messed up somehow. Not trying to be an a-hole, just honest. He nodded. I get that. But please, just let me stay in here. I'm scared to go out there. I'll be gone at first light, I swear. I frowned. Dude, if you're that scared, why didn't you just leave today, or even before that? Hell, I would have been gone the first night seeing that thing coming down the tree. The look on his face stopped the breath in my chest. I've wondered the same thing. Tried to tell myself it was just my imagination at first. And after last night, I kept telling myself I needed to wait until I reached a town. That there was no cell service out here. He laughed bitterly. Thing is, I haven't actually checked my phone for 2 days. Not since I made it back to the trail 2 nights ago. He lowered his eyes from mine. I don't think it'll let me leave now. Puffing out a small breath, I touched my knife in my pocket again. Okay. I don't know what to think, but I could tell you're really freaked out. Just stay on your side and we'll be cool, okay? He nodded. And I thought I could see a glint of tear in his eyes. Thank you. Oh, thank you so much. I won't bother you anymore. Just thanks. Not sure what to say, I just nodded and sat back against the wall. I knew there was no way I was going to be able to sleep with him in there, and I wasn't sure what that would do to my overall plan. But the main thing for now was just... When I woke up, Tony was gone. My lantern was growing dim, but the gray light of earlier morning pushed through the tarp enough that I could see the man's pack and bedroll, but no sign of the man himself. I felt a moment of panic and checked my own stuff, but everything was there. Looking around the edge of the tarp, I saw no trace of him anywhere, and I was just about to pull my head back in when I saw the marks in the mud. I felt my throat growing thick as I got up and went outside. There were a set of footprints heading away from Tony's side of the shelter. The rain must have stopped around the time that he went outside, because I could see the outlines of his steps clearly. They headed towards the edge of the clearing, before abruptly being destroyed by a slashing smear of mud that trailed off into the woods. I wanted to go further, to look for him and to make sure that he was all right. But I couldn't quite make myself do it, because I knew what those other marks were. They were drag marks. Something had grabbed the man and drug him away while I had been asleep. When I dug out my phone, I got a signal right away. 2 hours later, I had to ride back to the nearest town, and that afternoon, I was on a bus back home. I told my family and friends I had gotten a stomach bug or food poisoning from something and I had just to give up on it, that I'd find some other way to pay tribute to Dad's memory. I never told any of them of the man that I had met or what he had seen in the dark. Even up to last night, I wasn't sure what I had believed. I'd half convinced myself Tony had just been on some high shrooms and wandered off into the woods to sleep it off. Being back in the real world, surrounded by lights and people, made it easy to treat it all like a weird adventure or a dream that just left a mark. I moved into my new apartment, and while the rent is high and the walls are thin, I don't mind. Feeling the heartbeat of humanity around me is comforting, and not just because it makes me feel less lonely, it also makes me feel more safe. Still, it's not without its irritations. When I woke up in the middle of the night to the neighbor's kid crying again, I had convinced myself to go get a drink of water and cool down instead of going over and beating on their door. Trying not to wake up too much, I swung my feet onto the floor and started the stand, even as I wondered why I could see my feet and ankles so well. Where was that yellow light coming from? The world pitched forward as something spongy and rough grabbed the calves and yanked me backwards, sending me sprawling onto the floor. I only had a moment of fearful thought before I felt myself being pulled under the bed, and all rational ideas were gone. I was just clawing the floor and screaming, trying to kick the thing that was under my bed pulling me in. Whatever it was too strong. It rolled me back on my stomach as though I was a child, before settling its weight onto the small of my back. There was a moment of stillness, of contemplation, and then it tore open the left leg of my sweatpants, right behind the knee. I let out a howl as I felt its rough tongue there, swiping back and forth across my skin like a snake's tail before being gone again. A moment later, the weight on my back was gone, and I heard my living room window shatter as something leapt out into the night. I'd like to tell myself that it was all a dream too, but I had to clean up all my broken glass and change my clothes. Had to look into the mirror to see the terror staring back at me. And I know it's not over. I've been marked. I could feel it on me, like dirt I can't wash off. I'd like to say I could run from it, or kill it when it comes back. But something makes me wonder. Because I don't just know how it left my apartment last night. I know how it got in, too. When I went back into the living room to make sure that it was gone and found the broken window, I noticed my front door. It was standing wide open. I don't remember it clearly, but I think maybe I got up earlier in my sleep and opened it, as though I might investigate a strange noise outside. Or to let in an old friend I had met in the heart of the woods.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Save big during Labor Day at Lowe's. Get up to 40% off select major appliances. Plus, buy more to get up to an additional 20% off. Shop even more savings with 3 Stay Green 1-cubic foot vegetable and flower garden soil bags for $10. This Labor Day, take care of your home for less at Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9-3. Soil offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.